141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's officially World Cup week with Scotland back on the biggest stage. Steve Clark's side ended their preparations with a 4-0 win over Bolivia on Saturday night, and still no official confirmation from Celtic with Martin O'Neill set to take permanent charge next season. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Roger Hannah.
Well, Andrew, it's only five more sleeps for you and I. Six sleeps for Hugh Keevans, because he'll need 40 winks in the chair before that 2 a.m. kickoff on Saturday night.
He's not the only one.
It's beginning to feel real. Scotland were fantastic on Saturday night against Bolivia in New Jersey. Four goals in the first half, four goals the previous week against Curaçao. We couldn't be in any better nick to take on Haiti in Boston on Saturday night. The World Cup's ours to lose.
A wee bit of drama along the way as well. I see that Steve Clark has been branded unprofessional by the Norway manager for cancelling a friendly and not going through the proper channels he felt the SFA have hit back. What would it be if it wasn't a bit of drama attached to something Scottish football related?
The Norway manager can dry his eyes. Who on earth wants a stupid 60-minute bounce game in a field in Carolina 4 or 5 days before the World Cup? The Norway manager would have something to greet about had Grant Hanley smashed into Erling Haaland and put him out the World Cup 5 days before. And this is the same Norway manager who let his players dress up as Vikings and sit on a beach next to a longboat. So I'll take Steve Clark's preparations all day long ahead of the Norway manager's preparations. Get over it.
On the domestic football front, there was the news late last week that Martin O'Neill has agreed an initial one-year deal to be permanent manager of Celtic. I think some people expected that there would be an announcement at some point over the weekend, but still no official club confirmation yet.
Listen, some people don't clearly watch the way Celtic go about their business. Martin O'Neill will be the Celtic manager next season. Sometimes Celtic move to their own beat, not necessarily at the pace that others would expect them to operate at. It will be announced to the London Stock Exchange, I would suspect, one day this week. What day it is, I'm not too sure.
0141 951 1025. It is official. It is the week that Scotland are back in the World Cup. So how are you feeling about it? 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to reflect on that friendly win against Bolivia. What did you like? What has given you confidence going into that opener against Haiti this weekend? Who should play? Who shouldn't play? And maybe you're heading out there. Maybe you want to give us your travel stories. We'll be looking forward to hearing those across the week. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's start with Ian, who is a Rangers fan in Poland, according to my screen. Ian, how are you?
Hi, Roger. Hi, Andy. How are you getting on?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm phoning actually. The first point is that I wanted to praise Steve Clark. I mean, obviously, they had a fantastic win against Bolivia. I wasn't even expecting that. First half sort of blew me away. It was incredible. But I wanted to praise in particular for being quite brave in the selection of putting Gannon Doak on from the start ahead of a Finlay Curtis who has been fantastic. And is in really good form. I had a feeling that Finlay Curtis might start the match and Gannon Doak might come on as an impact sub, but he went with Gannon Doak in spite of form not being great, but he completely blew me away. It was fantastic, so I wanted to know what you guys think about that. And also,
well, we'll take that point, Ian, and I'll let you come back in with a second one. If it is the final warm-up friendly before a World Cup, and you are someone like Ben Gannon Doak, who is a player that is exciting and he gets bums off of seats, and you put in a performance like he did, there's probably not much more he could have done to try and at least convince Steve Clark that he's the man to cause Haiti problems at the weekend.
I think it's great mind games by Steve Clark. Ian's quite right. Finlay Curtis did well against Curaçao, scored the equaliser. Steve Clark told the media, I think Thursday or Friday or last week, he was maybe leaning towards starting Finlay Curtis ahead of Ben Gannon Doak. And then shoves Ben Gannon Doak out against Bolivia on Saturday night to say, on you go then. And I thought Gannon Doak was terrific. And I also looked, we're going beyond hating out to Morocco, but I watched a bit of Morocco and Norway last night, and Norway put on Oscar Bob of Fulham in the second half. And he gave the Moroccan left back a real tough time. And I just kept thinking, I wonder what Ben Gannon-Doak can do to you, you know, in the second game. So Gannon-Doak's taking his chance. He will start. But Curtis are billing a lot of the other guys. There'll be good players in that Scotland bench that can't get into the team.
There was a time not that long ago where you would look at the Scotland squad and think that in the wide areas, I mean, we didn't play without and out wingers for quite a lot of Steve Clarke's reign, but maybe part of that was because there was a bit of a dearth of wingers and guys that could, you know, square up their fullbacks and take them on and really cause problems. Not a bad issue for Steve Clarke to have if he's choosing between whether Ben Gannon-Doak and Finlay Curtis play this weekend or against Morocco or against Brazil.
I go back to his first game, I think Cyprus at Hampden in 2019, and he started with James Forrest and Ryan Fraser, and you thought, yeah, he's got a couple of wingers there. And just the way the squad evolved and the way the team evolved, going to the back three so he could get Robertson and Tierney in was a sort of death knell for the Scotland wingers. He didn't have any width in the team. But when he's going back to a back four, he's brought width in. Sometimes it's Gannon-Doak. Recently it's been Curtis. I tend to think it will be Gannon-Doak against Haiti at the weekend. I think John McGinn will come back in. I think he will go this game with the two strikers. And it might be to the detriment of Ryan Christie. He might just be the unlucky one who drops out to accommodate McGinn back in the team.
What was your next point you wanted to make, Ian?
Actually, you just stepped on it there. I was going to ask what you guys think about how McGinn's getting into that team, because that first half was incredible. Actually, I wanted to compare it to the second half because, I mean, it happens in friendlies quite a lot. You know, it's really exciting at the start, and then as the substitutions come in more constantly, it just disrupts the flow, and then it's a kind of, you don't get so much action. And then, you know, Scotland were brilliant in the first half, and I think it disrupted the flow with the substitutions. But yeah, just like you were stepping on the point there with John McGinn, so you think that it'd be Ryan Christie that might be the unfortunate one to drop out.
Yeah, because despite the fact that Scotland put in a very good performance in that first half without John McGinn, there is no doubt, Roger, that John McGinn will be starting that game against Haiti. He is one of the guaranteed nailed-on players. So you then look at the fact that Scott McTominay is also a guaranteed starter. If there's going to be a winger, you know, a Ben Gannon-Doak or a Finlay Curtis, and two strikers, which a lot of people expect will start against Haiti, it then does come down to either Ryan Christie or Lewis Ferguson, who may be the unlucky party.
Yeah, I tend to think Ferguson gives you a little bit of ballast at the bottom of that midfield.
But I suppose that is where Ryan Christie plays for Bournemouth, but you don't see him do it for Scotland.
You don't see him do it for Scotland. I think the absence of Billy Gilmour, I think Ferguson will play. I just wonder if Christie's... Listen, we might have all got it wrong. He maybe just does go back to one striker, and it's either Adams or Shanklin. But I think given that they're in the goals just now, given that we'll need goals to beat Haiti, I wonder if Christie doesn't play this one and then comes back in for the second and third games in the group, Andrew.
What about the strikers then, Ian? Are you expecting it to be two? And who do you think those two will be? Is it likely to be Shea Adams or Lauren Shankland after the weekend's performance?
Yeah, absolutely. Much of the same. As a matter of fact, I mean, I wouldn't even surprise me if they went in against Morocco with the two of them, because they did so well together. It's almost like impossible to see one without the other, because they complemented each other so well. So you think Shea Adams without Shankland might struggle, and vice versa. So I mean, it really wouldn't surprise me to see the two of them being paired up against Morocco as well. But certainly against Haiti, yes, I'd imagine it'd be much of the same. You know, probably exactly the same 11 that played in that friendly against Bolivia.
Yeah, if you're playing with two up front, you want two players that can work together, are on the same wavelength, that complement each other. Shea Adams and Lauren Shankland looked as if they were doing that at the weekend. It didn't look as fluid when George Hurst and Ross Stewart came off the bench, but you know, the game state is different. They haven't maybe played as much. And then interestingly, Lyndon Dykes, who was almost a guaranteed starter for Steve Clarke over the years, looks to be maybe the furthest out of the picture, would you say?
Yeah, listen, maybe, although I thought Dykes did well alongside Shankland when he came on at Hampden against Curaçao and set up one of his goals. Mm-hmm. Shankland has been used to playing with somebody all season. He's a Claudio Braga up there at Hearts. And I always think, you know, a lot of the time when Scotland played a back three, some of the defenders looked awkward because they played a back four at club level. And sometimes, you know, the strikers play up top in their own and it doesn't suit them because they normally play in a two or vice versa. I think it will help Shankland to have somebody with him, whether it's Adams, and I think it will be Adams, or even if it had been Dykes, I think they get the best out, Shanklin, having somebody close to him, the way that Braga's close to him in the Hearts team, that's when you see the best from him. I thought Adams looked as if he enjoyed it as well, having people around about him. So many times during Shea Adams' Scotland career, he's been away up there, Andrew, and everybody else has been away back here. This formation is ideal for getting people close to Shea Adams, because Shanklin built with him, Gannon Doak has set up one of, in fact, really set up both of the goals for Adams at the weekend. He'll get close to him. McTominay naturally will get close to him. And I think McGann, if he comes into the team, naturally will get close to him as well. So it gets bodies in the areas that could hurt Haiti.
Well, thanks to Ian. What about Johnny in the West End? Does that win on Saturday, Johnny, set you up nicely for the World Cup?
Yes, it was. It was nothing more than I expected, to be honest. I was at the last World Cup game against Morocco. I'm looking forward to flying out tomorrow, getting out to Boston.
Brilliant.
And watching us, you know, like, really, really, just like, you know, like, getting a foot on the world stage and all that again. It's going to be brilliant. I'm a over optimistic, no. It's going to be such a fantastic experience for everyone.
Why are you not optimistic, Johnny?
Why am I not optimistic? I mean, you want, like, Morocco and Brazil, they're great teams and all that. Haiti's a great team and all that. If we play to our abilities, you know, we will do well, you know, but we're up against, like, three fantastic teams, so that's it.
Yeah, I think maybe the reality of the strength of the group has been evident over the past few weeks. There's been a couple of performances from Haiti that, you know, they maybe look a better side than some people thought they may have been. Morocco have some real quality players in there, but it has also never been easier to get out of a World Cup group. So Scotland need to try and focus on that side of things. If Steve Clarke's side can go out, get the job done against Haiti to a decent level, put themselves in a really good position to try and get through.
Listen, Scotland's World Cup could be on Saturday night in Boston, all wrapped in one nutshell, because if you fail to beat Haiti, we're on our way home. But if we beat Haiti, then we do have a real good chance of getting to the last 32. And no Scotland team's ever gone beyond the group stage at a major finals, be it a World Cup or a European Championships, Andrew. Morocco, I know they won the African Cup of Nations by default on home soil at the start of the year. I don't think they're as good as they were 4 years ago when they got to the semi-finals. They look as if they're losing El Zalzouli from Real Betis, who was injured last night in that game against Norway. They look as if they're going to be without Mazraoui, the Manchester United defender, for at least the first game against Brazil, possibly the second game against Scotland. They've had a couple of injury concerns anyway.
I think it was Alexander Sørloth, the Norwegian striker, that was putting himself about and injuring a couple
both.
No wonder Scotland don't want to play that friendly against Norway.
Well, there you go, another reason. I watched Brazil Saturday night late on, beat Egypt. It was only 2-1, but Brazil dominated it. They will be good. Any team that's got Vinicius Junior and Rafinha and Bruno Guimaraes and Casemiro, Marquinhos has just won back-to-back Champions League as captain of PSG, they will be good. They, to me, are a measure ahead of anyone else in the group. We should beat Haiti and Morocco. Don't terrify me.
Johnny, you said you were at that Morocco game in 1998. It's been 28 years, but has it felt a lot longer than that since Scotland were at a World Cup?
I just, obviously, like, from that point, you know, you always thought it was going to be, like, every 4 years that you were going to be there. And Andrew, Roger, yourself, we're all Scotland fans. I mean, I'm playing it down now. I used to, like, play it up then, so, like...
What age were you, Andrew?
I was 3 years old, to give away my John, age, when John, Scotland,
Johnny,
when Scotland
saying,
played Morocco.
You're saying you were at the game, Johnny. I showed Andrew recently.
I was about 20.
Johnny, Andrew didn't believe me.
I was 22.
I had the front page, byline, did the front page story the night Scotland getting knocked out in St Etienne with a picture of Jim Leighton lying despondent in the back of the net after Morocco scored the third goal. And I've still got the newspaper. And I took pictures of the paper and I sent it to Andrew and Gabs in the show. I think they were astonished that newspapers weren't just in black and white in 1998. They were aghast when I showed them all this.
But it's funny what has happened over the last few years, because Johnny is saying that, you know, he just expected that Scotland would be at the World Cup every 4 years, and that the 2 years in between those, they would be at the European Championships. I'm of a generation where you just didn't expect Scotland to be at any major tournament at all. Major tournaments would pass in the summer, and you wouldn't even have a thought that Scotland were involved. But what Steve Clarke has managed to do over the last few years is for a new generation of Scotland fan, it's completely changed the dynamic of international football.
Yeah, and he's re-engaged the national team with the national psyche. I remember when we threw those barren years before Steve Clarke, during international breaks in this show, Andrew, you could have brought in a packet of cards in Kerplunk, because nobody wanted to phone and speak about Scotland. The international breaks were tiresome on this show, because you hardly got a caller interested in any of the games, and we tried to drum up a little bit of interest, but it was really half-hearted. Once Steve Clarke took us to that first Euros, and then we're really unlucky not to get to the last World Cup, if you remember that playoff against Ukraine. Then we get to a second Euros, then we get to a World Cup. The next Euros, of course, are going to be partly here. We have a right good chance of getting to them as well. So this manager and this team have re-engaged with the nation in a way that Johnny and I remember from the 80s and the 90s and the 70s.
What's the route then, Johnny, tomorrow? Have you got tickets for any of the games?
We've got tickets for the Haiti game, and we've got tickets for the Brazil game. We're not going to Morocco game because we experienced that and it wasn't nice. So we're driving all the way from Boston all the way down to Miami in a camper van.
Brilliant. How long is that going to take, do you reckon?
Well, I don't know, but we're going to stop off in North Carolina to try and go and meet the team and all that in between.
Is it a good camper van? I was reading some of the papers last week. Some of them are quite dear.
We booked this away back in December when the draw was made, so it's decent. Can I tell you a good story about when we were in Fans 98?
Go for it, Johnny.
Right, so we actually all went on a holiday to Lloret de Mar, so we all hired a bus like to there, and that was before you could travel between the borders in Europe with the Schengen and all that, so you needed a passport to go between like Spain, and one of the boys had forgot his passport, so we all hid him like below bags in the back of the bus. So when all the folk come on, like the border police and all that, they went like, "Who's all that?" And they checked it, but he was just hiding between below all the bags and all that, so they didn't find him.
See, those are the stories you want to hear from Scotland being at a World Cup. I think the statute of limitations probably passed by that point.
I know gentlemen who took a double decker bus from Maybole to Malaga in 1982 to support Scotland. And these stories, that's what makes the World Cup special. Yes, the football will be great, and we'll get to see Messi and Ronaldo and Mbappe and all these guys, but it's the stories, it's the human interest stories, it's the things that people do to get to the games and watch their team. That's what makes these tournaments special. That's what we missed for so many years, Andrew.
Well, thank you to Johnny. Safe travels tomorrow. Make sure to phone us in while you're on your travels as well, and keep us updated on how that is going. Looking forward to hearing those stories over the next few weeks. 0141 951 1025 for any more thoughts on Scotland, and the same number to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yeah, during the summer shows, this is Beat the Pundit time, and it's your chance to take on Roger Hannah. All you need to do is ring 0141 951 1025 now, and you could be up next after the break.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Keep your calls coming on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, 0141 951 1025. Roger Hannah here with me, Andrew McLean. We've been looking back at Scotland's friendly win over Bolivia. We've been looking ahead to the fact that Scotland are back at the World Cup this week. So any more thoughts on that, give us a call. We'll be looking at Celtic's managerial situation. Still no official announcement about Martin O'Neill, which will surely come at some point this week. So you can get in touch about that if you like. And we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your first time playing in the summer version of Super Scoreboard this this season?
Yeah, I was going to go on strike. I was the victim of being done in at the Super Scoreboard off air last midweek.
The live show.
By Marvin Bartley. Are you aware of this?
I'm not, actually.
Hell hath no fury like a former Livingston manager scorned. Do you remember last season, the night Marv thought he'd get 10 out of 10?
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed out he'd actually got one of the questions wrong, and he didn't get his 10 out of 10. He has waited patiently for his moment. And at the live show last week, I was asked a question. Stephen Mill confirmed I got the question right, which would have given me a victory live on the stage at the Pavilion. And up he gets out the couch. Oh, no, you've got one of the questions wrong. Demanded a count back. The question being, many Rangers players in the Scotland squad at the World Cup?
So this was a dubiety about
four, Shanklin, Curtis, Souttar, Kelly, Stephen Mill. Yeah, correct, four. And he said, oh, Shanklin's not a Rangers player until the 15th of June. And of course, the boos and the jeers started from the audience. They took the point off me, and then I get stitched up cruelly.
The thing is, you know that if it had gone the other way around and it was Marvin Bartley that had done that on this show, you would have been texting in trying to get the point taken off of him.
No chance.
Absolutely. That's what you would have been doing right. It's all going to be fair, straightforward rules, hopefully, with Stuart and East Kilbride. Have you played before, Stuart?
I've not, no.
What made you phone in tonight?
I've tried a couple of times to get in. I thought I'd try my luck.
How do you normally get on when you're playing along at home?
Not too bad. It just depends on the questions, really.
Yeah, we'll see if it's a different type of pressure. Of course, Roger is on -1 in the Summer League, as he was last season. Nice. So we'll put something else in the ear of Roger Hanna so he cannot tear us. And you'll know the rules, I'm sure, Stuart. But it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out time-wise. Is that all good?
Yeah, no problem.
Let's go for it. How many different players scored for Scotland against Bolivia?
Three.
Who is the youngest manager in the Scottish Premiership?
Craig McLeish.
Which club side did Steve Clarke play the most games for?
West Brom.
What company makes Celtic's kits?
Adidas.
Who wears the number 9 for Scotland?
Oh, 8.
Okay. Who did you say there, Stuart?
8.
Right. Okay, good stuff. I think we can bring Roger back in. Have we got you, Roger?
That was rubbish. Normally, back at 7 o'clock, you get good music and greatest hits. And that was just adverts.
Is that right? Just adverts?
Just adverts. You need the timing of this moved, Andrew. It's not good enough.
Is that ruined your...
I'm off balance now.
So you're just getting excuses in early. Yeah. That's what you're doing. Right, 30 seconds on the clock for Roger Hanna. Let's go. How many different players scored for Scotland against Bolivia?
3.
Who is the youngest manager in the Scottish Premiership?
Oh, good question. McLeish.
Which club side did Steve Clarke play the most games for?
Chelsea.
What company makes Celtic's kits?
Adidas.
Who wears the number 9 for Scotland?
Lyndon Dykes.
What team won promotion to the Scottish Championship through the playoffs this season?
Stenhouse Muir.
The Chadwick Stand can be found at which stadium?
Rugby Park.
How many permanent managers have Rangers had since returning to the top flight?
Oh, permanent managers?
Mm-hmm.
6.
Okay, how do you think that went, Stuart?
I think he's got through a few more questions. I think if I did the same amount of questions, I think I might have drawn me on, but we'll see.
Right, let's go through them. How many different players scored for Scotland against Bolivia at the weekend? You both said 3. It was Lauren Shanklin, Scott McTominay, and Shea Adams scored twice. So you both got it correct, but Stuart is one ahead, of course, because Roger starts on -1. Who's the youngest manager in the Scottish Premiership? You both said Craig McLeish, and you both got it right. He is just younger than Danny Rule, but not by much, but he is younger. So still one ahead to Stuart. What club side did Steve Clarke play the most games for? Stuart was thinking managerial. He went for West Brom, whereas you went for Chelsea, which means you draw level. 421 appearances for Chelsea. What company makes Celtic's kits? You both said Adidas. So you both get it correct. So it is all square. Who wears the number 9 for Scotland? You both said Lyndon Dykes. You both got it right. So it's a pretty high scoring game so far. However, that was the end of the road for Stuart. You were a lot quicker than him, Roger. So you had a few more questions in. What team won promotion to the Scottish Championship through the playoffs this season? The answer is Stenhouse Muir. So you are one ahead now of Stuart. The Chadwick Stand can be found at which stadium? You said Rugby Park. That was also correct. How many permanent managers have Rangers had since returning to the top flight? You went for 6. Mark Warburton, Pedro Caixinha, Steven Gerrard, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, Michael Beale, Philip Clement, Russell Martin, and Danny Rule. It's 8.
My goodness.
So
I thought I was going high with 6.
You get that incorrect. However, Roger Hanna does win. He beats you by 2, Stuart. But you know what? It's all right to be beaten by Roger Hanna.
I'm all right. Just getting, I think I only got 1 wrong, so I'm all right with
that. That's good, Stuart.
Who's your team, Stuart?
Celtic.
How are you feeling about the managerial situation? Certainly seems that Martin O'Neill is going to be the manager next season. No official announcement yet. Are you happy that it's going to be him?
I think probably having him there for a season or 2, if he's up for it, he'll probably get us kind of back up to where we should be, and then somebody younger can take over after then.
How do you feel about the way that it's all played out over the last few weeks? Martin O'Neill winning a double, some people maybe thought that was going to be enough for him immediately to be appointed, but seems to be bit going on.
If you take the personalities out of Andrew, if you just say that Celtic brought in a manager, a caretaker manager at the turn of the year, and they were in a bit of bother at the turn of the year, and the caretaker manager's gone on to win a league and cup double, then you'd probably expect that manager to be given the opportunity to continue for the next season. And that's what's happened. There's always a little bit of drama. So this is the cycle we're going through now, that little bit of drama. They didn't just appoint him 24 hours after the Scottish Cup final. They've yet to actually formally confirm his appointment or the appointment of his backroom staff. So this is what can happen sometimes. But I think it's a good appointment. They tried to think out the box in the middle of last year with Wilfred Nancy, and they got their fingers burned. So it doesn't surprise me that they're going with the tried and trusted. An awful lot of is made of the fact that he's 74, but it didn't really seem to stop him in the second half of last season. He's got younger legs, younger eyes round about him, and together they saw Celtic over the line.
Stuart, what is top of the entry for Martin O'Neill? What are the priorities for him once he gets his feet back under the desk?
A better window than we've had the last couple. Hopefully, I kind of thought he would be the manager, because I think he has been down, like he's been putting himself about, like going to different games and watching players towards the end of last season. But personally, I would be hoping that he would go in for Masminisi.
Yeah, there's certainly, I mean, I think every single Celtic fan would say that this summer window needs to be a lot better than the end of the January window that Martin O'Neill was in for. And I know he was, you know, players were presented to him. He and Sean Maloney were looking at players. They brought in a group of players that between them didn't contribute anywhere near as much as Celtic would have been hoping. There are going to have to be big changes this summer to their recruitment strategy, you would think.
Listen, Andrew, throw your mind back to this show in January. Celtic, Rangers and Hearts were all going for the title, and on more than one occasion, more than one pundit said in this show, the team that is the best window will win the league. Well, the team that the worst window still managed to win the league. Celtic won despite signing Nvuka and Adamu and Chivanchara and Arthurs and all of these guys. By the end, none of them were involved in the team. The only guy who was getting a sniff near the end was the one that was signed in February, Alec Oxlade-Chamberlain. So they need to have a far better window. All of those loan guys will go away again, but there are decisions to be made everywhere. Stuart will know what happens to Oxlade-Chamberlain. What happens to Iheanacho? What happens to Hatate, who looks as if he wants away, to Maeda, who the manager already said wants away, to Engels, who nearly went away in January? What happens if Alistair Johnson is a good World Cup and there's offers in for him? Is Sinisalo Salo now the number one goalkeeper? There hasn't been an opportunity to sign anyone since Kasper Schmeichel hung up his gloves. So there's a huge amount of work to be done by the football department at Celtic. And Stuart's bang on. They won't get away with as bad a window as they had in January again.
Thank you to Stuart. What about George, who is a Celtic fan in Milton? What's on your mind this evening, George?
Good evening, boys. Good evening to Roger and Tony. Good evening to St. Andrew. Just a bit annoyed.
There's no Tony here. I don't know where you've imagined Tony from. I think he was on Friday night, unless he's slept in here over the weekend.
Tony's my pal.
Give me a minute, George. There's a couch in here. We'll check down the back of it.
check, you check Roger, because he's always hiding. He always pops up somewhere, doesn't he?
Trying to sell socks.
I'm really annoyed about the Cammy Devlin outburst day coming out and telling the, obviously the media and everything about no fans attack any players at Celtic Park on the last day of the season, guys. I think that's a problem to be treated like this as a club. And I think at the outburst, I think who should be vilified? Tony Bloom, he came out and said it straight away. Two players were assaulted. Using that word assaulted, I heard Martin sort of cut it down. You know, being a lawyer, Martin is. So I heard them cut it down in a sense there because no one was assaulted, and that would be an apology. That's disgusting if anybody gets attacked, any player. Even any fans attacking other fans is disgusting. That's disgusting in this day and age. I just think it's appalling the way my club's been treated by certain individuals. And I think the past players and managers, people are giving these guys a platform and they're using it for words like corruption, bias, and all these other words. Now, I'll mention a couple of names, guys. I don't mind that.
George, we don't need to go down that street, but just on, you know, Cammy Devlin's comments, I don't think he said that no players were attacked. I think his actual wording was that no players were hurt. I suppose you could be attacked and not hurt. But Celtic will say too, you know, Martin O'Neill was asked towards the end of the season about Tony Bloom's comments that Hearts players were, you know, allegedly assaulted. He was saying that Celtic were still waiting for proof on that. We don't really know what's developed behind the scenes on that.
Well, we're still waiting for an investigation into the quarter-final game at Ibrox. So it'll be a long time before we get one at the end of the season at Celtic Park. Listen, George will know, emotions ran extremely highly on that day at Celtic Park and for many days afterwards. Craig Gordon brought it up on his Instagram at the weekend, talking about feelings of injustice, etc., among some of the Hearts players. Cammy Devlin spoken about it. You know, a lot of the Hearts boys have spoken about it since then. You would think time would be a healer in terms of the disappointment and the hurt, that the emotional hurt rather than physical hurt that they felt that day. But listen, Celtic won the league fair and square. I wasn't a fan of the pitch invasion at all. I don't like that kind of thing. I think it will be outlawed in this country very soon, the way it is in England and Wales, Andrew. But, you know, Celtic have won the league. Hearts, you know, revisiting the pain they suffered in 1986, they will get over it. And we'll just, you know, hopefully by the time we kick off in the domestic season again, which seems a long way away, you know, with a World Cup to get through just now, hopefully, you know, people will be back ready to go again.
Thank you to George. Keep your calls coming while I tell you about this.
Goal! Just absolutely magnificent.
Clyde One. Make me a
winner. On Friday, we made Angie's dream come true on Make Me a Winner when we transferred £750,000 into her bank account. She was sat poolside on holiday when she got the call, and this week we're not slowing down because there's a guaranteed £750,000 to be won every single Friday in June. Enter the draw now for your chance to win that game-changing amount. To enter, text YES to 61025, text or 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules for this network competition there, or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only, and lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday, and someone will win the lot. Just answer your phone, and £750,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to win on Friday, text YES to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hannah here with me, Andrew McLean. Of course, we are looking ahead to the World Cup. Scotland in action this weekend. First time that we'll be playing in a World Cup for 28 years. So maybe you want to preview that. Maybe you want to tell us your travel story. How are you getting over to America? If you're going over, if you get tickets for the games, or how are you just planning on watching them back here? Maybe you want to look back on that friendly win over Bolivia. And what has that told you about what Steve Clark should do in that game against Haiti? 0141 951 1025. Of course, still plenty of interest in domestic matters. Celtic's managerial situation, still no official confirmation that Martin O'Neill will be in charge from next season. Still waiting on that, but maybe you've got some thoughts on it. Like Laurie, who is up next. Laurie, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Andrew. And first and foremost, just putting record, my appreciation to Super Scoreboard for my invitation last week. Myself and my wife, Karen, my son-in-law, thoroughly enjoyed the programme at the Pavilion. It was tremendous.
It was lovely to meet you, Laurie. You opened the show brilliantly.
Thank you, Roger. I appreciate that. Although my departure was unceremonious.
Well, listen, you know, you bring these presenters through for the Infirmary, and this is what happens, Laurie, you know. I thought he was extremely rude to you.
No, it was, listen, I was game for a laugh, Roger. Anyway, my point this evening is, and I'll address my comments to yourself, Roger, the blessed Martin, a man for all seasons indeed. Last season, this season to come, and hopefully the season after that as well. Nothing short of phenomenal what he achieved. He brought us back from the dead, virtually, and resurrected our fortunes in winning a double. Specifically, the point I would like to make, Roger, is I think it's inevitable that there will be wholesale changes taking place. There'll be some departures, inevitably. There's a few players on loan, and others will come in. I know that his appointment is imminent. I would like it to be sooner rather than later because there's a squad that's got to be rebuilt. There's a Champions League qualifier to take place. And, of course, the World Cup as well. I actually would have thought, Roger, there's 48 teams participating in the World Cup. I thought that Martin's appointment would rubber stamped before these teams headed to the States and North America to participate in the World Cup, because you would suspect that if there's 48 participating nations, there's a likelihood, if not a probability, that some of the players that will be taking part in that tournament might be in Celtic's radar. Your thoughts, Roger?
I think there's every chance in that, Laurie. If they're not in Celtic's radar, there's something wrong with the Celtic recruitment department. I think Celtic could need 10 to 12 players, Laurie, just to replace those going out the door, and that would involve every position in the team. They'll need a goalkeeper, whether Sonny Salo becomes the first choice or not. They'll need a goalkeeper because they're one down because Schmeichel's away. If Johnson impresses, as we said in the show, is it ridiculous to think somebody could move for Alistair Johnson? At left back, Celtic will need cover for Kieran Tierney because Sarachi's gone back to his parent club. At centre half, Stephen Welsh has left. I believe he's signing for Swansea City. Benjamin Arthur's going back to Brentford. They'll need centre half cover again. In the middle of the park, you would suspect Hitati would go. Potentially Engels could go. Oxlade Chamberlain's now out of contract. What happens to the likes of Paolo Bernardo? Does he have a future at the club? Doesn't look like it. So there'll be midfielders required there. Martin O'Neill delivered the bad news at the end of the season at Jota. Won't be back till late October, early November. Could there be another winger coming into the football club? And with Adamu away, Chivanchara away, Martin said in the eve of the cup final, Maeda would leave as well. Iheanacho's now out of contract as well. I think Celtic would need at least two strikers coming in on top of everybody else that we mentioned there, Laurie.
On Laurie's point about the official confirmation, it will be a big thing for supporters just to see that announcement. I suppose it's not as important for Martin O'Neill and his forward planning, because if he's agreed to that 1 year deal with the potential of another, he'll be straight away knowing, right, okay, I'm in charge, Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham are with me, I need to now plan ahead for next season. He's not waiting on the official announcement to get his work done for next season.
No, I'll be interested. I just wonder what's going on behind the scenes just now. They're probably just making the arrangements. Celtic need a head of football operations as well. So, you know, who's going to fit into all of these roles? We're assuming here Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham will just do what they did last season. That might not be the case. There might be a promoted position for Sean. We don't know. So I wonder if the devil there will be in the detail. That's maybe what's delaying the announcement to the stock exchange and delaying the confirmation that Martin's getting the job. But believe me, Martin's getting the job.
Was there never any doubt in your mind that he was the man to take Celtic forward for this season and possibly another, Laurie?
Never at any time, Andrew. I believe implicitly in Martin. There's no substitute for experience. I reckon the Indian sign over Danny Roll and Derek McInnes came up short against him as well. In fact, I would say, even before a ball is kicked in earnest in the new season, that if Rangers and Hearts don't go off to good starts, their respective positions, Roll and McInnes, will be in jeopardy.
That's interesting. Listen, you might well be right. You always find if somebody's excelling, then somebody else is suffering, Laurie. And the team that suffers tends to look at changing manager. There was quite a strong vote of confidence from Andrew Kavanagh at the end of the season in Danny Rule. But
seen that before.
That's what I was about to say. Votes of confidence are all very well until you fall 8 points behind. The Hearts win is fascinating. I, Laurie, have never quite thought that Derek McInnes and Jamestown Analytics sang from the same hymn sheet. Yes, Claudio Braga did terrifically well, but that Hearts title push was built on Craig Halkett and Stuart Finlay at the back, Cammy Devlin and Benny Beringame in the middle of the park, and Lawrence Shanklin up top, who were all already at the club and were all the type of player that Derek McInnes likes. I just wonder, you know, the point you make, we don't know how patient Tony Bloom gets if he doesn't get his own way. You know, if Hearts fall 8 points off the Old Firm by September, October time, does that mean a change? So we just don't know. But to take your point, whoever's falling off the pace, those managers tend to be under a bit of pressure.
Martin O'Neill came in, was winning the majority of games, you know, in his first spell, results were great. Second spell, yeah, results were good. Got it over the line in terms of the league title, the Scottish Cup final. How much will it help then, Martin O'Neill, assuming it's Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham, having a pre-season, having more time to plan transfers and look ahead?
Well, where the benefit there is, had a new manager come in, he would have needed time to assess a squad. Martin assessed the squad in the second half of last season and very quickly disregarded a lot of the ones that he didn't fancy. But very few changes in that Celtic squad. You know, he operated in the last few weeks of the season with about 16 players. So he knows the ones he wants to keep. He knows the ones he wants to move on. And the biggest job is over to the board to bring in the ones that he wants.
Thank you very much to Laurie. Thank you to everyone else on the phones, getting involved in social media, listening on the radio, watching on the live stream. Thank you to Roger Hannah too. Of course, we are building up to the World Cup. Scotland are playing Haiti this weekend. A bit later on this week, we will return to the two-hour format of the show. We'll be doing that throughout the World Cup, giving you all the coverage, all the build-up, all the reaction to the big games. So make sure to stay tuned to Clyde One Super Scoreboard over the next few weeks, and you can live that World Cup journey with us. And stick around tonight. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow from 6 until 7. And tonight, up next, it's Callum Gallagher.